You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
By some miracle, we got it going.
Woo!
As you can see, it's just the three of us today. This is Matt, your host for KoopaCast. I am the multimedia manager of the group. Joining me are two other people, and they will introduce themselves just as soon as they answer this question. As listeners may know, we're in the middle of our Around the World of We Fit You in 88 Days contest. And we're about to hit the halfway point. So I want to know to each of you, what is the farthest distance that you've run?
Tristan.
Oh, you started, man. You got, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey. I'm Trevor. Trev. My friends call me, and this is actually my first KoopaCast, and hopefully not the last. But in regards to Matt's question, I really don't know. But in my defense, I actually have been trying to play Wii Fit. I did play it today for a half an hour or so. But our house only has one Fit meter, and my wife is using it. So I can't tell you. But I am part of the Pure Nintendo gym, so...
Hi there. Oh, go. Oh, sorry.
No, that's it.
All right. Hi there. I'm Tristan Myman, the third wheel of the group and staff writer for Pure Nintendo. And the furthest I've ever run, I'm not sure about the furthest, but I guess the fastest would also be how bad I need to go to the bathroom and also how far it was away. I'm not much of a runner per se. I'll bike because I can sit on my butt and move. Is driving considered an exercise? Because it can be draining at times.
I'm sorry, it's not. If you watch the Wii Fit Meter introduction video, they clearly state that driving is not exercise.
What if I just put my Wii Fit Meter on like my dryer while it's going and just shakes it up like crazy?
It actually doesn't work like that.
Oh. Well, wait a minute. How do you know that, Matt? Because I see your stats when I'm in the gym and your numbers are appearing. Yeah,
he's kind of an Olympian right now.
Because I have to race J Money. I don't know what he's doing, but I think he's just sprinting everywhere he goes. But I had to troubleshoot the contest to make sure that, yeah, you couldn't just, you know, do this to your meter and you'll get steps.
So, not like getting play coins with your 3DS.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I do with him, the play coins. Oh, man, I need that last puzzle piece. Shake, 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 shake.
Yeah, this one does not work like that, thankfully.
Yeah, I need to pick one up at some point.
It's really nice. It's $14, so I thought it was a good deal.
Yeah, I need to get a Wii Fit. Like, I missed out on that when the Wii came out, and it seems like don't be shaking my head. I'm not even going to say I'm physically fit. I'm nothing like that. Yeah, okay, I'm just going to stop digging my grave here. Yeah, I should probably pick one up.
Move that camera. Let's see a full body shot.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Let's just keep, you know, my personality's up here, Trevor. Not my gut.
Speaking of physical exertion, let's go ahead and talk about last week's Nintendo Direct. It was all hands on deck as all three of us, along with a few other Pure Nintendo staffers, were hurriedly trying to. Fight the stream while trying to put stories up there for you, the viewers. And now that everything's kind of calmed down and we listen to all of the games that are out there, which is more than 30, by the way. I've counted a few times. What did you all think of? Just I want to hear some basic thoughts of how you thought the Nintendo Direct went.
I felt like they told us stuff, like a bunch of stuff that we already knew, not so much what we wanted to hear. I mean, like, it was so cool seeing, Little Mac and Smash Brothers, but I think maybe a bunch of us were hoping, okay, so we've seen some newcomers, we've seen some new items, assist trophies, stages. What's the release date? Because this game's obviously looking really well done. So I was personally hoping for that. I was really hoping for a new Zelda game, like, something to really get me excited about what Nintendo's releasing for the year 2014. And I kind of felt like we really didn't get that. I feel like it wasn't as strong as maybe I would have hoped, personally.
To go along with that, I thought it was so-so. Just from a pure Nintendo point of view, it was exciting for me trying to, throw things up as they were being announced live. But especially on the Wii U end, I guess I was disappointed because like we saw Smash Brothers, we saw Bayonetta, we saw X, and then we see 2014. And was it Reggie who said, there's not going to be that drought like there was last year? And maybe they still have some surprises, but when I see 2014
You think
without any dates,
2015?
it gives me pause.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because it's easy to backspace on that four and just type in five. So.
And with Nintendo's history, I mean, has there ever been, a first second party game that was not delayed?
That's a good question. I can't remember last time it was, all right, it's this date alone, we're good.
I mean, one delay and we're feeling fortunate. I mean,
Right. If I'm mistaken, Mario Kart 8 was actually the only Wii U title that was presented that was like, okay, here's the release date. I think everything else was, TBA.
A lot of things were. There were a couple that were coming out that day of the Nintendo Direct. And then, of course, there are some that are coming out in the near future. A lot of March, April dates still are flying around. And which is to be expected, because this is what Nintendo Direct was for the purposes of highlighting what is coming out in the next few months, especially in the months leading up to E3. That was something I was definitely thinking about, that while we didn't see any huge hits except for what we already know, was hope I'm hoping that it's something that we're gonna see. They're gonna just wait to reveal it at E3.
And we'll all be there to watch it.
Yes, we will.
It's gonna be great. Yeah, Trev, if you think of, intense, like, us being separate, our computers uploading stuff. Last year at E3, we're all like crammed up in a hotel room. Okay, who's got this one? Yeah, I got it. All right, where do we get the pictures for this? Just jumbling around. Look, I think we looked up what, Matt, what we look up, like four different screens just to find, like, okay, who's got the better bandwidth? Who's getting like the
Like, for anybody who's listening, if you've ever seen like scenes from Star Trek where like computers were exploding and everyone's yelling out random stats, that was pretty much what our experience was like. So, stream's going down, move to screen two. Okay, I got this.
And everyone called me Captain.
I'm giving her all she's got, Captain.
That was pretty much whatever. Yeah, it was exactly like that. Yeah.
The
Congratulations,
hotel
Trevor. You're
internet
now a
can't
Scotty.
take it.
Hey, that's right. All right, Trevor, you're our new Scotty. Hope you're happy.
Oh, why?
But
What about you,
yeah,
Matt? What'd you think?
I thought it was nice. I mean, I liked hearing that a lot of games were coming out, so we're kind of seeing a contrast to last year, which was this, large gaming drought that didn't inspire a lot of confidence in especially the Wii U. I thought which was something the interesting things that came out of it were the Game Boy Advance games coming out on the Wii U. So I'll definitely be playing some Metroid Fusion along with
Not totally.
Yoshi's Island's Mario Advance 3, because I know there's some extra levels there that I want to check out. But most interesting to me was not just the Steel Diver announcement, but the Bucky's Real Deal baseball
Oh
announcement.
yeah. Yeah, that one seemed really like interesting just because how different it was in terms of like how like you buy things, you have to like kind of like haggle around to it.
I'm curious to see how they're going to do that, because I mean, if people realize that, hey, I can get this cheaper, everybody's obviously gonna go for that. I guess it leaves me with questions. But I think it's good. I think it's a nice way for Nintendo to sort of shake up their digital infrastructure, as it were.
Right. And be kind of creative about that.
They did say they were going to try to experiment with their different models. And it definitely looks like here they're experimenting with their pay-to-play models, or however you want to say it, free-to-play or pay-to-play.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is it working just out of the three of us? Who downloaded Steel Diver, you know, right away?
I don't have a 3DS, so you will not hear anything from me.
I didn't pick it up. Man, I thought you got a 3DS, dude.
No, I figured it was either going to be a 3DS or HDTV for video capture. And
we're on a delay, right? So we can edit that out.
I mean, yes, the Pure Nintendo budget covered 3DS for me.
Warning, Pure Nintendo budget did not cover 3DS for Matt Paxton.
It didn't.
Anyway, maybe my point's moot, but what I was getting at is the original Steel Diver, I never picked up, even though I've seen it.
Yeah, I didn't pick it up
in
either.
Shops. But yeah. This one, I figured free, what do I have to lose? So I downloaded, I think I downloaded it the next day. I got a bigger SD card, but
a lot of fun though?
You know, it's not really my sort of thing.
Right.
But I like the idea, because if it hooked me, I could see myself absolutely going out and buying the full version. I mean, I've done that with other demos, so.
Totally.
How was the, have you tried any of the multiplayer yet, the online multiplayer?
I actually have not. It's funny, I was chatting with a friend of mine on a forum about it, but never did get around to it. But from what they were saying, I'm trying to think, I think they said they spent like 5 hours.
Wow.
Oh, wow. So I could see it really being addicting, because, yeah, looking at it, again, just the whole premise is pretty cool. I think it was kind of like maybe what they wanted Steel Diver to be when it first was. Again, I'm pretty sure with you guys, when you saw Steel Diver as a release title, you were thinking, what else?
Shovelware.
You're like, Street Fighter. Okay, I'd rather do that.
Mm-hmm.
That was mine. That was a pickup Street Fighter as a launch.
Yeah. So, something interesting I noticed about Street Diver, besides the pay-to-play model, was the when you're on the multiplayer, you communicate by using Morse code.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is actually. I kind of thought that was neat.
Yeah, and it's really smart of Nintendo to kind of like have the option to be like, look, it's free to play for you, but if you want to spend a little bit extra, you get, you know, some better subs. That I think is a very intelligent way in order to sell a game. Unlike, let's say, EA, where it's, oh, I'm sorry, did I get a weird cough?
I completely missed what you said. Can you repeat that? What was it?
EA. Because like with a game like EA, it's like, oh, you bought the game. Here, pay us another $5 in order to, you know, actually play it, or, you know, something like that. It's nice to have the option of, look, if you want it, it's there. Kind of like how Nintendo did with the Bravely Default. With was it with Brave Points? You could pay a little bit extra to get Brave Points, or you could just put it in sleep mode. You know, you can get it either way. Mm-hmm. It's all about literally all about patience. So I think it's a very smart business move.
It's gonna work for, because there's a lot of people, you know, as much as we probably all love multiplayer, there's a lot of people who, you know, are solo gamers or only like multiplayer, you know, local. So for the people who want, you know, the solo experience, they're going to pony up and pay the, you know, $9.99 or whatever it is to get the game. So
yeah, totally.
And which model would you like to see Nintendo go down further? Would you like to see them go down the Steel Diver model or the Real Deal Baseball model?
I feel like I need to see more about Real Deal before I made a decision on that. At the same time, I do like the Steel Diver again. Like, I pretty much cut and copy everything I just said and repaste it here about the whole, you know, it's great that they give you the option for it and it's not forced upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the baseball game. I mean, I know what we've all heard, but it kind of left me with more questions.
Yeah.
You know, how exactly is it going to work that we can haggle them down? And, you know, is there a cutoff? I mean, because obviously, you know, you're going to reach a point where, okay, this is as low as the game can go. And yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know enough to have an informed opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Who says in the game, though, you can't, you know, walk around this guy's baseball shop, pick up a bat and go, man, wooden bat could really hurt someone, you know? I mean, if they don't, you know, lower their prices just a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Maybe Retro City Rampage.
Maybe Retro City Rampage does that.
What did you guys think about the speaking of Retro City, going just to indies, I thought it was interesting that we did see a little bit of a highlight on the indie titles this time around. We saw some independent studios, some familiar faces go on there and talk with, I don't remember their names now. They both start with K, that's all I remember. But, you know, talk with those two about the two Nintendo Minute hosts about their games. Do you guys think we should see more indie coverage in the future?
Oh, absolutely. Because I feel like us being an independent magazine, an independent news source, you know, I feel like, you know, independent companies, we're all literally in the same boat when you think about it.
Yeah, one of my biggest thrills since I, you know, started writing for Pure Nintendo is the opportunity to really kind of build and expand on those relationships with the small indie studios. You know, because we're obviously enthusiastic, they're enthusiastic, and you know, while I still question how much indie titles will actually move a Wii U console, you know, in large amounts, I think the steady flow is gonna, you know, keep the installed base happy. And you never know when the next, gem's gonna pop out, you know, the next Cave Story or whatever. So
I still need to play that game. I really want to play Cave Story.
You know, it's a good one.
I'm waiting for a Wii U release on that, but yeah, sorry, I'm getting distracted. I didn't mean to cut you off of my desire to want to play Cave Story, because I heard it's like an interesting RPG, but it's really difficult too. So
if you want to get a flavor of it, there's an eShop title. What the heck is the name of it? Your little squid.
Oh man, it was some really Japanese title. I know what you're talking about.
Actually, I have it on 3DS, and the name escapes me. You know, it's a short thing. It's maybe 2 hours, but
It kind of has that same aspect, kind of gameplay.
Yeah, very, very much so. I think it was the original, or not the original. I think it was, it predated Cave Story. It was kind of where they got a lot of the ideas. What the heck was it called? I think it, I'll interrupt.
Paku Paku Squishy Squid Adventure Happy Fun Times.
Yes.
That's I knew it. I knew it. It was tip of the tongue, man. Tip of the tongue.
So that's the actual title then.
So, Holy, come on. I'm a journalist, for God's sake.
I should have had my 3DS near me. I could have just looked it up. It starts with an I. It's like Pikachu. See, I'm thinking Pikachu. Something like Ikachu.
Gotcha.
Ika-chan? Is that
Ika-chan?
It?
Ika-chan. Ika-chi.
I don't know. I got to Google it here. But
I'll have to be sure to look for it, though. But yeah.
It's a fun game.
And I totally agree with what you said in terms of like there's so many hidden gems out there. Like especially you know jumping on the hype about Super Meat Boy back then, which is an indie title that went from you know I guess you're gonna say indie title to you know critically acclaimed independent game. It's just you know, it's also really cool to see the love and devotion that really goes into these games and the creativity. Because when you think about it, as an indie company, you probably get more liberties and more freedom with your title. Rather than, let's say, even a third party or AAA company, which is really around the shackles of we want it like this, it's going to be like this. We have no other room for anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, what really impresses me, I just recently I was playing Unepic, which is a great, great Wii U game.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I saw your review on it. It was really good.
But, yeah, it had a major, major bug. And I was chatting with, you know, with the developer, and he was, you know, very apologetic and right on the ball to fix it, by the way. And I told him, I said, you know what? Because he was very humble. I said, you know, I look at an indie game here made by one person with, you know, pretty much just one flaw. When you look at these big budget releases,
on
day one, you know, where there's patches and they're getting class action lawsuits, and you know, I take it in context. You know, one bug from an indie developer versus mountains of bugs from these huge studios. You know, it's small in comparison.
Oh, yeah. And I just realized I made another stab at EA with SimCity.
Oh, well. It'll happen. Oh, for a company that was voted worst company in the world 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody might accidentally say something negative.
No. Oh, darn. Whoops. Sorry to be that guy, guys.
Well, they do have an unprecedented relationship with Nintendo, so, or, you know.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. You know what you should do, Matt? You said you were looking for a 3DS. Maybe you should splurge for that Yoshi 3DS XL that's coming out with new Yoshi's Island.
Oh, yes. Another Yoshi's Island package that was also announced during the Nintendo Direct.
It makes me wish that, because I look at my 3DS right now, I have the 3DS XL, the red and black one, and it makes me want to go, and I'll just throw you away and just go get a new, like, you know, I wish you could do like some kind of weird trade-in thing, but no, I'm happy with my XL, but it kind of sucks when you see like these exclusive, beautiful design ones, like when I saw the Zelda one, I was torn. It's my favorite franchise, and I was just torn to see that beautiful 3DS XL.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart marketing, because they know that you know, there's going to be a contingent who are going to gobble it up. You know, not me personally. I still have the original, the smaller model, but
yeah.
You know, if I had more money, I probably would.
Oh yeah, like I would definitely recommend Matt. Of course, you're probably thinking the same thing too. If I were to go for a 3DS XL. I would definitely go for like a specially themed one. I mean, like, yeah, you can get the regular color ones, but I mean, it'd be kind of cool to have a themed one too.
Yeah, the Legend of Zelda one immediately comes to my mind. That would be the like my pick right there.
Oh yeah, totally.
They got some slick ones overseas too. If you want one that, that's right, you know, can play different regions.
Oh yeah.
If I'm mistaken, go ahead.
I was just thinking. I like the idea that there's all these special edition 3DSs out there. But I kind of would like to prefer to see like also like a case option, perhaps.
Right.
Like some kind of cover you can put over there, so people don't feel like they're kind of like, I mean, not regretting, but like wishing they held out a little bit longer for the next 3DS.
Yeah, and not something like incredibly bulky, like just something that's like, you know, it just clips on perfectly to where it looks like it's a specially themed cover. Mm-hmm. I've seen them on consoles before. In fact, I saw this one really cool one. It was for the PS4. It was a case you can a covering case you can put on it that makes it look like an old NES.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, something like that I think would be great. Yeah, customizable.
Or even maybe like I don't know, like for your Wii U gamepads, do you have any type of those grippy sleeves or whatever? Like I know I got one. Oh. And you know, it's just kind of, I know it's a little different with the 3DS because of the clamshell design, but kind of just slides over and you can, you know, swap it out easy enough, gives you a little bit of options.
That's nice, yeah. If I'm mistaken, though, I think the Yoshi's 3DS XL is not actually having the game digitally downloaded on it. I can't remember.
I can pull that up right now for you.
Let's say, like, I want to double check on that before, you know, that's confirmed. But I thought I read somewhere where it's just the 3DS XL. But and to me, it wouldn't make sense if they didn't have it downloaded on there.
Yep, it is. There is no software in it. You have to purchase a copy of the game.
That's weird.
You know. I don't mind it so much as somebody who, you know, still loves physical media. Same. You know, I hesitate to buy any retail game until Nintendo gets, you know, a real account system. The only one I've done it to date is Wii U Fit, actually, or Wii Fit U, because, you know, it's $30 difference.
Yeah.
There's nothing to sneeze at, but.
Oh, totally.
You know, I really, you know, if I can hold a box and hold a booklet, or, you know, nowadays a sheet, a pamphlet, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take what I can get.
Or kind of like your games back there, you know, it's nice to have them put up on the shelf kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I look too close. Some of those aren't Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. I will say this. One thing I do think Nintendo, I was talking to Justin about this, Justin Sharp, and we were talking, and it was that I think Nintendo should definitely go back to what they did with, let's say, Wind Waker and Pikmin 3 in a way, in terms of their digital downloads. Because I know with Wind Waker, you could actually digitally download the game, I think it was like a week or two earlier, if you bought the digital version. And then I think they should do that, because I think that actually could rank in a lot, you know, because some people, you know, physical digital doesn't matter to them, but it's kind of cool to have that option of, if you buy it this way, you get to play it a little bit earlier than everybody else.
Yeah. I got to say, though, Pikmin 3 had a beautiful manual. Color,
yeah, true.
Really nice. So
I need to pop that.
I hear you, but I'm going to
totally.
Pikmin and screen it.
I agree with you, man. Like, I think it's a great marketing move, but I still prefer physical, and I still need to get back on Pikmin 3. I'm on the last level, and it's stressful. It's too stressful for me, and I can't handle it.
Early digital is definitely bad for my constitution. Never seen a man cave so fast, and when the digital version of Wind Waker HD came out, I was like, I could wait, and then I was like, all right, I'm gonna wait, and then I saw one video online, maybe lost. About 10 seconds, and I'm like, nope, gotta buy it digital right now, and that settled that.
Yeah, well, I guess for me, you know, of course, you know, I got the game sent to me to review, and I was thinking, oh man, I get to play before everyone else, but then later I went out to the store, and I saw, like, you know, the one with the Ganondorf figurine in there, and I was like, oh, why, yeah, I just, Why couldn't they have sent me that one? That would have been cool too.
We need to make a case for that so we can also review the figurine.
I think, you know, stuff like that. And I think is now what's weird is that there's no way you can actually go buy those figurines straight from Nintendo, right?
Not that I know of.
I think Nintendo should start doing that. I think they can make a lot of money, you know, saying, oh, here's some cool figurine or cool. Or if anything, maybe have collector's edition versions of games to where, like, I think it'd be cool for Pikmin 3 if, like, you could get, like, a little Pikmin plushie or something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
You can buy a little, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
As I said, you can buy a little figurine of Luigi right now if you really have that urge. So only 1,600 coins will get you Luigi's Mansion 2 Luigi.
God, dude, I don't have enough. I only have like 300 coins. I kind of splurged on mine when I got the Link Between Worlds poster set. Worth it. It was so worth it.
What did I get? I got one of those cases that were out last month, the 3DS cases.
The one that had the you can put your different cards in there?
Yeah, had the different sleeves. It was Zelda and I think Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I remember seeing those. Those are pretty cool. But yeah, go ahead.
So I was going to say,
sorry.
I was going to say, I always just end up spending my coins on the monthly Club Nintendo digital releases.
Oh, yeah. Mm. We need more of those.
I would love to be spending coins. I love the Wii more than anyone, and I still actually buy Wii games, but I don't know why. They're still doing like we were talking about earlier with Mario RPG, you know, downloaded on the Wii U in Wii mode.
Yeah,
I don't know that's why not, they're not just offering straight Wii U rewards. I don't understand it.
And again, it's like that's kind of a lie. It's like it's not Wii U. It's Wii. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you dress it up, you still have to go to the Wii option to play it. So, and I was totally bummed by that because, like, it literally seems like the only thing they have to do in terms of changing it to a Wii U version is having the option to, you know, customize your button layout and like a save state, load state feature. And that's like about it.
Yeah.
The off screen.
The whole virtual console setup for that matter. I mean, I don't want to.
That's a can of worms. That's a can of worms. If we get into that, guys, we're going to be here all night if we try to open up
a can. That'll be a special edition KubaCast.
Yeah, special edition KubaCast. How long is it? 3 hours long, just ranting about the virtual console.
I would question it along with you guys if I weren't too busy actually downloading Super Mario RPG.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's another example of the weak constitution that I have.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, it's still worth it, and I still buy Wii games.
I actually picked up Xenoblade Chronicles recently, and
how much?
Do I really have to say?
I'm just curious because I know
it was actually 60.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I was gonna say, was it 3 digits or 2 digits of how much you spent?
No, 60 is good. It's definitely worth it.
Well, I got lucky because I had like a bunch of like GameStop like points and discounts. So I mean, like it really chunked off the price, but. I remember I saw it at the store and I called up Justin and I was like, hey, one thing, we got the David Wise interview. Also, I found Xenoblade Chronicles, and one thing he told me about, he's like, get it. If you ever see it, get that game. It's super rare and it's really great. And sure enough, I'm having a fantastic time with it. And it's actually, to me, setting me up for getting ready for X. Because after the information they gave us, I mean, come on, the game is like practically like a sequel to Xenoblade, or it's the same, you know, combat style is Xenoblade, but more polished up. It's like, just say it's Xenoblade and give us a cool title. So
yeah, I just call it Xenoblade Giant Robot Edition. That seems more
Xenoblade Giant Gundam Edition.
X is more cryptic though. Makes you wonder and speculate. What is that?
Mega Man X? Maybe we're finally going to get that next Mega Man X game that we've probably been needing for years.
That would be amazing if it's just a 3D Mega Man X.
Yeah, if you're watching this, Capcom.
Where's my Legends?
They are, I'm sure.
Sorry, that just kind of slipped out.
Oh, man, you're all right?
I didn't mean to blow up like that.
Just explode, man. Why don't you calm down there in that sound booth you're in?
I'm not being emotional, but I am saying I would have bought a 3DS if they had Mega Man Legends out.
I heard good things about Legends, the Legends franchise.
I've got the first two. They're amazing.
Yeah, I saw you had a box copy whenever you did the KubaCast at your place. You'd have the box copy sitting up on your wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing I didn't get with the whole Legends thing is weren't they like getting input from like the fan community about, you know, what they would include in it and stuff like that before they kind of pulled the rug out from under them?
I think it was like they felt like there wasn't enough hype with it, so they just canned it.
Yeah, they felt Capcom felt there was not enough support and I believe just support for the game, both people in the dev room and people outside the dev room, and they just kind of didn't feel like it was going to be profitable.
I feel like if they at least gave us maybe, I don't know, a video, some screenshots or something, that probably would have, cranked up the hype train a bit. Just saying.
I mean, in their defense, there were a good amount of screenshots. I was definitely following that story very closely. It was definitely great because it was like one of the first instances I've seen of like a major publisher just teaming up with their fan base to actively create a game. Kind of like what Inafune is doing or did now with
Mighty
Mighty
Number
Number
Nine. Yeah,
Nine,
so excited.
choosing concepts for characters and whatnot. That was something very similar that Capcom did for Mega Man Legends 3 for in terms of character design and just like gameplay elements and ideas. But yeah, then just all of a sudden out of the blue it was going to be delayed and then it was canceled right then and there. And I believe it was right before we were supposed to get a playable demo on the 3DS.
Yeah, it was like it was the I know the I remember the window gap being really, really close. So it's kind of a bummer that they pulled out, but maybe
I walk on chills now every time I hear delay. It's like, what's next? Like with the whole Watch Dogs thing, not to get off topic, but
you're open, we're opening so many cans of worms, guys. We're gonna drown in them.
it's like I hear that where I used to hear delay and I'm like, oh, okay, it's gonna be a more quality product when it finally releases. But now it's at a point I hear delay and I'm like,
Uh-oh, is it
yes.
coming?
Yeah, or at this point it's like, oh, delay. Well, this is a regular thing, Never trust a release date when you first see it, because that's one thing I've noticed, growing up as a gamer, you never really trust it until you get it and it's confirmed and the date's getting closer and nothing's changed yet.
Yeah. When's Mario 3 hitting the virtual console? A couple months
Trevor, that's another can, my friend.
ago.
You know what? You know what I did in spite of that? I just hooked up my NES and I just started playing Mario 3 and I was like, oh, there, got it right here.
Nice.
Well, I mean, we saw with NES Remix 2, which is coming out in about a couple months, that Super Mario Bros. 3 is on there.
So
So that
that
makes me
comes.
believe that we are going to see Super Mario Bros. 3 on the Wii U Virtual Console
Maybe
between
tomorrow.
now and that release. Yeah, maybe tomorrow, hopefully tomorrow. Actually, no, I take
Tomorrow.
that back, hopefully not. I have a lot of work I need to do, and I really don't want to get distracted.
Tomorrow, tomorrow, it'll come tomorrow.
And
Good job,
that was a quick note. Real
Dixie.
real quick going back to like Ubisoft and the whole Watch Dogs thing, and we definitely heard about their waning confidence and like Nintendo's Wii U sales. Here's a if you're listening to Ubisoft, and I know you are because you're big fans of purenintendo.com. We just got a story that came in that Mutant Muds Deluxe sold more on the Wii U than it did on PSN and Steam.
That was awesome.
Ooh, and I am one of the people that bought it, and it's a fantastic game.
That's a
Thank
great
you,
game.
Jules. It is, yeah. But yeah, the Watch Dogs thing. Because the worst part that killed me, I was talking with James about this, and even James was saying, "Yeah, I'm not waiting for the Wii U anymore. I want to play Watch Dogs. I'm just going to get it for like the 360." And I'm still holding out for the Wii U version. But then again, if I ever decide to get a PS4 in the future, who knows? I might make that my launch game. Or Metal Gear Solid 5.
Well, it's gonna be like Matt was saying, you're gonna watch one video and then you'd be like, I can't wait.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, because I've been watching like so many videos on Watch Dogs, like gameplay and all, and I love the concept because it makes you feel like a vigilante Batman that can't just grapple hook his way out of a situation. That's why I like it. That's my biggest feel about it.
Actually, I think I just ran clean out of subjects right after that.
What
Did
was
is there
that?
anything I ran clean out of subjects
Oh.
after the Watch Dogs thing. We covered a great gambit of things, I think.
We can listen to Tristan sing the Annie soundtrack there again.
We could.
The what soundtrack?
The Annie
From
soundtrack.
Annie there, Tomorrow. You were doing pretty good with that.
Tomorrow, it's coming tomorrow. And I really don't know the rest of the words of the song.
That's okay. I guess my sarcasm wasn't effectiveness.
I'm trying to think of
All right.
diamonds
Let's
are a girl's best friend.
Well, what's everybody been playing? Isn't that?
Yeah, it's usually
Oh
how we
yeah.
cap this off. Yeah.
Yeah, let's cap this off. Like, so what have you two been playing?
Well, me, I've been I took advantage of the sale they had, the eShop, and I picked up a couple of the Guild series games from Level 5.
Oh
Two
yeah.
that I'd been eyeing for a while. The Starship Damray,
Oh,
one of them.
The game was intense. Like, actually, that was actually, I think, the first game I reviewed for Pure Nintendo. Like a first copy sent to me.
Yeah, I
Sure,
actually
Teddy.
went back. I read your review, and
Oh, thank you.
I had actually commented on it before I was
Oh, well,
part of
yeah,
the
thank you.
team. But
Yeah, it's an interesting game. It
yeah, I
really
always
is.
held off because I knew it was kind of short and not much replay
Yeah.
for the price. But at $2.99 or whatever it is now, I think
Yeah.
it's definitely worth
Yeah,
it.
it's not on. Yeah, totally.
So I picked that up. Attack of the Friday Monsters, another one that's a great game.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I heard good things about that.
And I also kind of picked them up in anticipation for Weapon Shop, which
Oh,
I don't know
yeah.
if I'm going to have up. I think the embargo ends tomorrow or something. So,
Oh, yeah, that's the, it's like, what's it, like a rhythm game or something where you're like literally the blacksmith for the hero?
yeah. Well, I don't know how much I
Yeah.
can say.
That's where you go, maybe. Wink.
Well, you'll just have to download
Or to our wonderful, lovely viewers out there, you'll just have to go to
to
our website and check out the review once it's posted.
yeah. I guess the only thing I could probably get away with saying is if you like those type of the Guild series games, you'll probably like it.
Good. It's good. You know, it's a good way to kind of set it up.
Yeah, so I've been doing that on 3DS and Wii U trying to do Wii Fit. Like I go into the Pure Nintendo gym and like I said, I see Matt's numbers are crazy high, and then I look at my little graph bar and you can barely see the progress I've made. So I've been
Dude,
trying to do that, especially in the winter months,
what
when
do
you
you?
don't.
That's not the right response, Trev. Man, you gotta be confident about it. That's where you go on the CooperCast and go, "Hey guys, I need some help. Do you know a vet? Why? Because these pythons are sick." That's what you're supposed to
Well,
do.
if I had my old fuzzy camera, I'd probably look up one of those things.
Yeah,
Yes.
I'm gonna interrupt you real quick. I just thought of like there's one thing I wanted to go over real quick before
Oh,
we
okay.
signed off. I'm not gonna let I decided I'm not gonna let another week go off without talking about like a major review that passed us by.
Okay.
We have Tristan in the room, and he recently reviewed the latest Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. And I believe you scored it at a what did you score now? 8.5 out of 10, right?
A 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10.
Yeah.
So
No, 8.5 out of 10.
8.5 out of 10. All right. And you seem to have received a lot of feedback for that.
Yeah, it seemed generally positive from what I, it was really great to see that, again, like my really big concerns with the game was it was probably the how I guess easy it was, but I'm not sure really it's a fair thing to say considering me, I guess, I grew up back in the good old NES days and Super Nintendo days. I understand the concept of a Donkey Kong game, and it was great using every other character's, like Cranky, Diddy, and Dixie using their abilities to the fullest, because there's some levels where the level kind of hinted slash forced you to use another Kong's character and their abilities to advance on, which is a great way to kind of, okay, so I now know how they work. The only problem I really found, though, it was so easy, it was too easy to collect banana coins, and by like the third world, I already had like 99 lives. So by that point, death wasn't really a consequence. It was more of a, oh, well, that happened, or I didn't get that, at the edge of my seat, like let's say in the first Donkey Kong Country, where it was, oh man, I'm on the minecart level and I only have 2 lives left. I'm not gonna make it. You're just so nervous. You're on the edge of your seat. I miss that old hardcore, excitement and thrill from old school gaming like that. But overall, like the art style, the gameplay, and I almost want to say above all, the music. David Weiss, if you're watching this, man, it was amazing. It's beautiful. I would buy the soundtrack. If the soundtrack ever comes available, I will purchase it. I'll be first in line for that. It's just amazing. It really immerses you into the world. It's just, yeah, definitely is definitely a buy. Definitely go pick it up.
Let me ask you, Tristan, if it's cool, because I don't remember. Even though I liked the review,
Oh, thank you.
the fact that it didn't use the gamepad. What were your thoughts on that? Because I know that's been getting some chatter.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the only really features I noticed of the gamepad was, using it as the controller, of course, and then off-screen play. There really wasn't a lot of, oh, touch the screen to do such and such, touch me into that. There really wasn't a lot of that. But to be honest, with a game like Donkey Kong, what could you really use it for, is what I'm thinking. And it's great that, because let's say, look back on the Wii, there were a lot of games where, it required you to go, oh, you have to use the Wiimote, you have to flail around, which maybe not a lot of gamers wanted to do that. So it was kind of nice that, I guess, you know, it wasn't kind of forced upon us, so to speak. And again, with a game like Donkey Kong, it's a basic 2D platformer, so there's not really going to be much to do with that. You know, there didn't really see much in level design that I would probably think to myself, huh, maybe I should use the touchpad for this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, because even with the original Donkey Kong Returns for the Wii, that was one of the big gripes, you know, having a waggle.
Yeah.
With the Wiimote to roller. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, to roll, you had to, like, do this or something like that. So it was nice to go back to the, like, traditional button layout that, you know, started the Donkey Kong Country franchise.
And going back to your earlier comments, you were talking about how easy this was. I'm guessing this was much easier than the previous Donkey Kong title on the Wii?
I would say it's a bit more difficult. You know, there were definitely parts later on in the game, especially, of course, you know, what Last World isn't difficult. But, I mean, there were a few levels that were that had their own challenges. I would say the biggest challenge would be, like, some of them are the underwater levels, because you actually have an air meter this time. You don't have, you know, you can't just, you know, oh, I'm a gorilla that can just somehow breathe underwater and all. But what made up for that was the swimming mechanics were actually really easy to get used to. So, I mean, you kind of had that perfect balance there. For first timers, they're probably going to need those 99 lives, or they're going to need to go buy a bunch of them. But for Donkey Kong Country veterans are going to have an easier time with it, but they will see that challenge as the game progresses, like, you know, like any good game should.
Was there a super guide or whatever it's called in Donkey Kong in this one?
No, there wasn't, actually. And I really enjoyed that. I died many times on a level, and not once that stupid pig come up and go, hey, you suck at this game. Need a hand? You know, and that was great to see. That was kind of the feel like the game was, well, if you're going to beat this level, you better be the one to do it. And, you know, of course, you know, because
on the 3DS. So.
Yeah, because we had this.
I've seen a few times.
Yeah, because, you know, we've seen the Super Gorilla, of course, you know, in the Mario Land and the Mario 3D World, we saw the white Tanuki suit. So hopefully Nintendo's starting to kind of, you know, well, we don't want that anymore. We want the gamer to feel like they're growing and they're learning from their mistakes, or they're feeling a sense of progression, and they don't need to have their hand held.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm glad it sounds like it progresses pretty well in terms of difficulty. It worries me, though, that you said it was easy, but it was harder than the last game, because I found the last game especially challenging near the end.
Well, so, Matt, if you're as good as a gamer as me, especially at Mario Kart, if the rest of you guys of the Pure Nintendo team are watching.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's pretty easy for, you know, a very skilled gamer such as myself.
You reminded me of something, Tristan, and I got to know, because I've been hearing this for months, watching Koopacast, and, you know. But what's the deal with you and Mario Kart talking about skilled gamer?
I'm sorry. We're going through a tunnel. can't talk about it right now. Sorry, guys.
Don't worry. I'm not going through a tunnel, so I can explain everything. Tristan, during E3 last year, had a reputation for becoming 7th and 8th place in nearly every Mario Kart.
It was like a few times, man. It was like one or two or four tops of races.
Well, since I didn't have a 3DS in my hand, I was conveniently counting, and I was definitely using two hands to count the number of losses that you had.
Shut up, Matt.
See, this is good. I feel like I'm more connected now, because I've been, like I said, I've been hearing this, you know, these little subtle jabs and jokes, and I'm like, you know, what's the deal with this?
Yeah.
I mean, cause we're journalists. How bad can we be if we're playing games all the time?
Yeah. No, the joke is that I had a bad stroke in Mario Kart. One bad stroke, and they've never let me live it down. So, you guys just wait until Mario Kart 8 comes out. Oh, I'm just gonna mop the floor with you guys. I won't be able to hear your cute comments when I'm all the way in first place.
Right. But yeah. I mean, as you can see, and I can kind of verify this going over stuff with Tristan. What he lacks in his racing skills, he more than makes up for his platforming skills. I think he's done every major platforming accomplishment on the Nintendo. You've beaten Mario Lost Worlds all the way through, and you've 100%ed that, correct?
Yeah, I went through all the way from World 1-1 to World D-4.
Wow. I give you props for that, boy.
And technically, since I played as Luigi the whole time, that's technically considered the hard mode, which I didn't understand. I thought it was easy mode because I got, you know, the extra jump, but that extra jump because of, you know, you have Luigi's extra jump, but you have his slickness too, so it's easier to fall off platforms. But with enough, you know, memorization of levels, if you think that they're hard, wait till you get to the letter worlds. They're just, I don't know what the developers were thinking. It just doesn't make sense. I ran into so many Bowser copies that weren't the final boss that I don't know, but it was pretty rewarding when I got through that last challenge. It was so worth it.
Wow. My guess what they were thinking is nobody's gonna make it this far, so we can just basically do whatever we want with the level design.
They might as well, man. It just didn't like correlate, make sense. I think I saw some Hammer Brothers underwater multiple times.
Yep, I've seen that too.
Yeah.
I know, I almost quit after I beat 8-4 and lost levels. I was like, yeah, I did it. And then it goes to 1A, and I'm like,
what is this? You're like, what? No, it can't be, yeah.
I don't even think I've gotten half that far, boy.
It was funny. I was there's this guy on YouTube, which actually we're going to try and interview for the magazine. I highly recommend you guys check him out. It's called The Completionist on YouTube. So I'm going to give a shout-out to Gerard Khalil out there, The Completionist. He does, you know, he completes games 110% practically. And, well, not practically, he pretty much does that. And he did one of the Super Mario All-Stars pack, and he did the lost levels. And he finished them, all the way to 1 to 8. And he's like, yeah, I did. I beat the game. And his co-host Greg goes, Gerard, you have to do all the other secret levels and the last one too. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It's like 3 hours later, he's like, the final level, you know, because let's face it. I mean, that's why we have trust issues, guys. Original Mario with your princess in her castle. Oatmeal raisin cookies that look like chocolate chip cookies from a distance, and Final Fantasy bosses.
Yeah,
yeah. Reason why we have trust issues.
Just all of Mario 2 was trust issues.
God.
Trampolines didn't work like you thought they would.
Warp zones that sent you all the way back. Oh God.
Back to World 1.
When you first discovered that when you were younger, you're like, what? What's no?
Well, I remember. Isn't there wind? I remember having a hard time. Yeah, just adjusting to that.
Yeah, there's wind, other like wind mechanics thrown in there. But one thing I think is funny, going back to that warp zone thing, there's actually a little pit they give you to you can pretty much kill yourself in case you don't want to use the warp pipe. So it's either you go back to World 1, because the only way you can get to the secret worlds is you have to beat the whole game without using warp zones.
See, a game like that is why I don't mind restore points.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some games just need them.
Yeah. Yep. Speaking of restore points, I wish Star Tropics was a bit more gentle about checkpoints, because and heart drops and everything else like that, because it's really hard, and I need to get back on it.
It can be unforgiving, but man, I'm so excited when I saw you tweet that, because earlier that day I tweeted before the direct, I'm like, you know, there's no way, but I'd love if they said something about Star Tropics.
Yeah.
And then I saw you playing that. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, guys, I'm thinking about doing maybe possibly this. Again, this is going out, you know, I don't mind, you know, talking about this. It's a possible feature article idea, everybody. One thing I realized when I picked up Star Tropics, it was actually a box copy. You know, I flipped it over and read the back of the box, and there were some, you know, interesting things that you really wouldn't see in today's, you know, box art, you know, on the back of it. And one thing I'm thinking of, back in the day when, you know, we didn't have the interwebs, and you went out and picked up a game, you read the back of the box. That was the selling point, if not the box art, to make you want to pick up this game. And I'm thinking, over the years, have game companies not really relied on that as much? Because I've literally seen some games, like I think The Last of Us, it didn't really have any really text on the back, other than maybe like 5 words. So here's the thing, have we relied too much on the internet or things like that? Or instead of, you know, picking up the box, looking at the back of it and reading what this game might have to offer us?
Yeah. No, it's true, you know, but by the same token too, and this is going to show just how old I am, you know, back in the day of like the 2600 or something, you had these boxes and they had this epic artwork, and then you plug it in and
it these
pixels
like
that have been beaten by the ugly stick, it didn't look anything like it. And that's why I love like the original NES games that are in the black boxes.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, they're a little enhanced, but they show that pixel artwork and it's like, okay, like this is Mario. What I'm going to get. And then you play it. And that's actually kind of what it looked like.
Yeah. Like Mario or Duck Hunt. That's, you know, it's like, okay, you weren't really lied to about anything.
Yeah. I love those boxes. I think they're classic.
Yeah. So I hear you on that.
All right. And we're going to leave it at that. And I want to thank everybody for listening to this KoopaCast. And Tristan, Trevor, I want to thank you for joining me on this week's KoopaCast.
No problem. It was fun.
It was fun, yeah.
For anyone listening, if you have any questions that you would like to ask us, you can either give it to us live or you can email us at podcast@purenintendo.com.
Or if you want to message us individually, you can also follow us on our Twitters, which I believe all of our Twitters are on our staff page.
Yes, we love getting new Twitter followers.
Oh,
so
totally.
Please check those out as well. If you want to see Tristan's review of Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, that's also online at purenintendo.com. If you want to check out the Around the World of Wii Fit U contest, that's also on purenintendo.com. Just search Wii Fit U. You'll see an instructional video and article detailing how to get started with that. Until next time, this is Matt, Tristan, and Trevor wishing you a good week of video game playing, and we'll see you next time.